Acts 18 in your Bible, Acts chapter 18. I would like to ask the Lord to use the message tonight to encourage our hearts and in particularly Brother Houston's heart as they get ready to begin up in the Crystal Lake, McHenry area tomorrow. And I appreciate those of you young men from here that are going up and being a part of that effort tomorrow. God bless you, and I hope that many others will join in as the month goes on. Let's stand together, please. Acts 18, we're reading verses 7 through 11. And the passage of Scripture we'll read responsively. Please join me on the even-numbered verses there, 8 and 10. We're picking up here on Paul's second missionary journey, and we're reading verse 7 now of Acts 18. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Dear Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, I pray that you just use the words that will be said tonight from your book to encourage not only our hearts, Lord, concerning this area of service you've given us to labor in for your honor, your glory, but Lord, also encourage Brother Houston, his wife, Lord, as they begin in that needy area. Oh God, please do something in our state. God, I pray that you'll help churches to spring up all over the place. And Lord, may there be lighthouses come into existence. Lord, the size is not important. What's important is the message that goes out from the pulpit, the message that's taken on the streets. So, Lord, would you please help us to see this reproduced over and over again in the years that you give us left to serve you. We'll thank you. Bless tonight, I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you, BC.
Yeah.
think it says, the Lord thy God is one God. That's our trouble in America, you know what I mean? It's like Brother Houston said a little while ago, there's tolerance and multiculturalism being preached everywhere, from even in pulpits today. And just let everybody and their brother. But you know what? When God, when America had God, the God of Israel, the God of this book, as the God of its land, it was a blessed country, wasn't it? And boy, we need to return to that again. So I want you to look at verse number 10. He said, the Lord Jesus said here to Paul, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." This city. And we were in the marriage series, and I told you this morning I was going to speak on how to restore trust that's been broken. I will do that. But, you know, I was at home this afternoon, the more I thought about tonight, having Brother Houston here, I just thought, you know, I want to be a blessing. Encourage our hearts in this matter, and his as well. It's not an easy thing to step out and start a New Testament church. It's not easy at all. And so he's a great undertaking. And I appreciate it. I appreciate his wife coming by his side and being willing to come and move, you know, settled for 4 years and move to a new place and start a ministry together. So I told you some weeks ago there's a new emphasis on starting churches, I think, that's coming back to independent Baptist churches. And I'm so glad. I told you about that book, Paul Chappell and Clayton Reed co-authored a book called Church Still Works. I like the title of that. Church Still Works. And it's a great book. I'm enjoying it as I read through it. And he talked about, you know, the renewed interest in our churches in starting churches. And so let me talk tonight about this city. Jesus told Paul, "I have much people in this city." I like that. In this city. Dear Father, bless the message tonight to our hearts and encourage your man tonight. Encourage his wife and encourage us. Because, Lord, you're not done in Bourbonnais. I still believe you have people in this city. Help us to be faithful. And thank you for what we can learn from the Apostle Paul and his missionary journey about Corinth tonight. Help me and pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You remember Corinth was the second city that Paul visited in Achaia after he left Macedonia. You recall the Macedonian vision. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Recall the cities that Paul evangelized in the area of Macedonia. Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And then he was moved by the Spirit of God to cross the line, if you will, the boundary from Macedonia into Achaia. And he went to Athens, and things did not go well in Athens. In Athens, they were consumed with intellectualism and scholarship. Paul was a very scholarly man. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. And in Athens, I really believe, if you read carefully 1 Corinthians, I really believe that in Athens he tried to match scholarship with them. He tried to approach them intellectually, and it really didn't go. And when he went to Corinth, he started preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he wrote him back and he said, "I was determined when I came to you to know nothing but Jesus and Him crucified." Now, he said, "That was the message I decided I was going to stick to." He worked in Philippi. It worked in Thessalonica. It worked in Berea. I got away from it in Athens, and I got right back into it at Corinth, and it worked again, and it still works. Now, I'm not against academics, but I am very alarmed that what the emphasis on scholarship is doing in some of our independent Baptist circles, and I mean that with all of my heart. I mean it with all of my heart. I'm not against academics and education. Not one bit. Goodness gracious. Not one bit. But I will tell you something, friend. The work of God does not require intellectualism. It requires faith. And somehow down through the ages, unfortunately, scholarship and faith have not mixed as much as they should have, maybe. It's sad. But anyway, here you go. So that's where he is. He's in Corinth now. And he preaches the death and resurrection of Christ. Corinth became a Roman colony in 44 B.C., it was turned into a bustling, important metropolitan center located between two seaports. It was on an isthmus, if you will, and located between two major seaports. It was a cosmopolitan city. It composed of people from all kinds of cultural backgrounds, and it was filled with pagan cults, the most significant being located in the temple of Aphrodite, a temple so rich it owned 1,000 slaves. That's men and women. It was wicked and licentious. Wicked and licentious in the name of worship. In a day when immorality was rampant throughout the Roman world, throughout the whole empire, Corinth was noted for its extreme immoral wickedness. So you kind of got like the sin city of the Roman Empire. That's what Corinth was. And so forth and so on. And, you know, it's like any city. Regardless of size, regardless of industry, regardless of schools and arts and entertainment, Satan has a grip on the population. Doesn't have to be a huge city to be in the grip of Satan and sin. It can be any size city. It can be a city of 42,000, like in Crystal Lake, or 28,000, like in McHenry, or the surrounding cities, or the 18 or 20,000 of Bourbonnais, and the 30,000 of Kankakee, or the 110,000 in our county. Idolatry, immorality, filth, sin is in every city, like it was in Corinth, like it is in this city, like it's in the one you're going to, Brother Houston. And into this city came this short, eye-diseased Jew with a Roman citizenship, carrying a message that would turn that city upside down. I want you to see just a couple of things. Let me just look at several points of interest and give you a couple, three things to think about. Look at verse number 4. As the Bible says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Paul was faithful to preach Jesus Christ. Now, a church is not going to be built in a day, Brother Houston, you know that. Church is not built in a day. A church is not built in a month. A church is not built. You can't measure church building a church in years. You've got to measure it in decades. Okay? Paul was faithful to give the gospel out Sabbath day after Sabbath day, after Sabbath day after Sabbath day, going to the Jews. Look at that rest of the verse. And persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He took the message to the Jews and the Gentiles. Paul was a Jew. But the message of Jesus forced him to cross national barriers and take the gospel to every creature. And that's how independent Baptist churches have been established throughout the gospel net, and whoever it brings in is welcome to come. Amen. Whosoever will, gospel. This approach to marketing the gospel and targeting your area and marketing it to certain income families and demographics that would help you start a church, that's not how they did it, friend. They cast the gospel net over the entire city, and whoever it brought in is how they built the church. And that's what Paul did here. He went to everybody. I want you to look at verse number 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. He's talking to the Jews now. The same thing happens today. Not everybody received his message. Not everybody in our town is going to receive the message of Christ. Not everybody in your city, in the city of McHenry and Crystal Lake, is going to receive the message of Christ. Don't be a martyr. Don't be a whiner. There's no place for that in God's work. Amen. And I, well, you know, Pastor, sometimes you go to a preacher's fellowship. How's it going? Well, brother, you know, my town is hard. No, your city has the same hard people, like Bourbonnais has hard people, like Corinth had hard people, like Kankakee has hard people, like every city everywhere has hard people. There's no easy place to serve. There's no easy place to build a church. There's no easy place. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. There's no easy place. Look at verse number 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. It may be hard. It may not be easy. It may be difficult. But there are always some who will believe. And Crispus believed. And the Bible says many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed. Now, you know what this could be? This could be a story about Bourbon. This is a story about Corinth. And this could be a story about Bourbonnais, Mantino, Kankakee, Bradley, our area. This could be a story about McHenry and Crystal Lake and the Algonquin area. This could be a story about the Aurora area where Brother Harrison is. This could be a story about the DeKalb Sycamore area where Brother Chambers is tonight. This could be a story about any city in the state of Illinois. And sometime maybe we ought to show you the map that we have in Brother Caleb's office. It's a large map of the state of Illinois, and we have targeted in different colored circles, blue circles and pink circles and yellow circles, all over this state where there are thousands of people not within a 25-mile drive of a Bible preaching church in our state. Not within 25 miles. In America. Right here in the heartland. And so this could be a story about any city in our town, in our state of Illinois. I want you to look at verse number 9 and 10. I want you to show you three things about this story in this city here tonight. Look at verse number 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. I want you to see, number 1, Paul's responsibility in this city. Here was his responsibility. Speak and hold not thy peace. Speak and keep on speaking. Speak and keep on speaking. Continue to tell the story, regardless of the results, regardless of how it's received. Don't ever close your mouth when it comes to speaking about Jesus Christ. Speak it and 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 speak it. In this book that I'm reading called Church Still Works, they identified through an extensive survey Some of the characteristics, if you will, of churches that are growing, of churches that have reached and made an impact. And I'm not talking about certain size. We're just talking about growth of any sort. And they came up with seven characteristics that were true about all the churches, regardless of size, regardless of part of the country, all the churches that were growing and making an impact for Christ. They came up with seven characteristics. And one of those characteristics was an aggressive outreach program. And boy, how they talked in this book about how necessary it is for a church to keep the gospel message going out to the community over and over and over and over and over and over, and we can never get tired of you say, haven't we saturated Bourbonnais? Haven't we saturated Bradley? Pastor, I come on Tuesday, I come on Tuesday night, I come on Tuesday afternoon or Saturday, and it seems like I go to the same street that I went to maybe a year ago, or the same block that I went to a year and a half ago. That's the methodology, folks. Over and over and over and over, and don't hold your voice. Don't hold your peace. Speak and keep on speaking. Keep and speak. Speak and keep on speaking. Some will get mad. Others will be indifferent. Some will argue. Others will yawn. But some will believe. So keep on speaking. That was Paul's responsibility. That's why we try to keep the pressure on, folks. I'm not the kind to beat you over the head in every service. But we got to keep the pressure up. We're planning the fall program right now. Got to have them. It's a must. It's necessary. You can't look at liars. What's the little saying? Oh goodness, something about but statistics don't lie. You can't look at the statistics without seeing that churches who continually take the message to the street finally make an impact. And this is why he told Paul, speak and keep on speaking. Speak and keep on speaking. Now, I want you to see the greatest hindrance that would possibly keep Paul from speaking in this city about Jesus Christ. It's fear. He says, be not afraid. The biggest hindrance to getting the message of Jesus Christ out on the street. Look, it's one thing to do it by radio. It's one way to do it by way of gospel tract. But the greatest hindrance to getting the message of Christ out verbally in a city is fear. It's fear. Don't we all be honest tonight? It's not according to our nature just to walk up to somebody and just start talking to them about Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny? You can meet a complete stranger at the gas pump, on the other side of the gas pump, while you're both fueling your vehicles, and talk about the weather, talk about ball, talk about politics. but it's so difficult to get around to the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that funny, folks? It's so funny. It's a fearful thing to start talking about Jesus Christ to folks. Fear is a factor that prohibits us from speaking freely about Jesus. This has been a problem since the early days of the first century. The disciples were gathered together in the upper room for fear of the Jews, scared to death. But do you understand that they were soon transformed into a bunch of bold witnesses preaching Christ to thousands of people, not just one man standing up on the day of Pentecost, Peter, preaching a salvation message. All 120 of them spread out across the city speaking the message of Jesus Christ. What in the world transformed them from being a cowering bunch of 120 disciples fearful to speak the name of Jesus into bold witnesses? One thing and only one thing. The filling of the Holy Spirit. That's all. The filling of the Holy Ghost transformed them. Folks, I don't know what you can say when you read Acts chapter 2, but it is a pretty bold matter to deal with. To realize that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and immediately they went to the streets. I think about that. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and immediately they didn't say, let's have a Bible study. They didn't say, let's have a prayer meeting. They didn't say, let's take an offering. They didn't say, let's send a missionary. They said, let's go tell somebody about Christ. And that's bold. I mean, that's a plain statement there. How can you read Acts chapter 2 and say that the filling of the Holy Ghost was given for any other reason than to help these people overcome the fear that gripped them and kept their mouths shut, and God gave them the filling of the Holy Spirit and filled them with His power, and they were bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. And I'm simply saying that Paul's responsibility in this city was to speak and keep on speaking and speak and keep on speaking and speak and keep on speaking. And the thing that would prohibit him from doing that was the fear factor. But God took care of that in the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you something that still applies to our city today, friend. You and I that go out visiting and knocking on doors and talking to people about Jesus Christ. And friend, without the power of the Holy Ghost on us and in us and going with us, it's a futile thing. And the reason we keep our mouths closed so often is because we are afraid. And the reason we're afraid is because we're not boldly filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I've told you so many times about Curtis Hudson's story at the fire station. I won't even go into it again tonight. But being filled with an alcoholic beverage causes you to do things that you never dreamed you'd do. And being filled with the Holy Spirit of God puts you doing things you never dreamed you'd do. Makes you a bold witness about Jesus Christ. I will tell you what, our relationship with the Holy Spirit is hindered. And it keeps our mouths shut. He told him, he said, Paul, you don't be afraid. You speak and keep on speaking. And that's why, you know, man, thank God for you folks that are going up tomorrow to be in that city and staying there on Tuesday. Jump in, folks, on August 22nd, Saturday, Saturation Saturday. Jump in. Be involved. Catch the vision. Why are we having to plead to Baptist people to spend a few hours out inviting folks to come to church? Think about that. Please, 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 please. You think that's really how it ought to have to be? When they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they went. They didn't have a sign-up sheet. They went. What are we going to do? Let's go to the street. I understand work schedules sometimes interfere. I understand that. But man, we got 5 weeks. We got 6 weeks. I'm not asking you to resign your job. leave work. But I'm saying jump in. Be involved. We have a responsibility in this city, and we have a responsibility, they'll have a responsibility in that city, like Paul had a responsibility in Corinth to go and speak and keep on speaking. Speak and keep on speaking. So Paul's responsibility in the city. I want you to see, second of all, Jesus' presence in this city. In verse number 10, Jesus said, "For I am with thee." Now, look, I understand this is a promise of protection. He said, "And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." I understand it's a promise of protection. But isn't this the same promise that Jesus made to those folks in Matthew 28? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Spirit, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you." And then He said this, "And lo, I am with you always." Curtis Hudson used that verse and said that's why he never flew on an airplane, because Jesus told the disciples, "And lo, I am with you always." He wouldn't fly. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Jesus said this. He said, "You take the gospel and I'll be with you. You take the gospel and I'll go with you." Now listen, folks, we like to talk about God coming to our church services, and that's great. I don't ever want to minimize that. If God doesn't come and visit us with His precious presence on Sundays, we've met in vain. But I'll tell you something, church. What good does it do in our city? And what good will it do in His city if we confine the presence of Jesus to the church auditorium? What good is that going to do? Folks, look, Jesus is not with the bartender. And Jesus is not with the pimp. And Jesus is not with the gangbanger. And Jesus is not with the crooked businessman. And Jesus is not with the sodomites. And He's not with the Satan worshipers. And He's not with the Mormons and the JWs. Well, I was ready yesterday. I was headed home and I saw Him on our road. I saw Him. Man, I was ready. And I thought, I hope they knock on our door. If they knock, when they do, they're working their way down our road. I'm going to say, "What tribe are you? Are you the tribe of Benjamin? Dan? Are you the tribe of Issachar? Naphtali? Ephraim? Manasseh? What tribe are you?" Because all of them 144,000 are Jews. Virgin, are you married? I'm ready. I've got my gun loaded. Amen. When the false cults get there. By the way, it was 91? At about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, 2:30 when I went home. And they were out visiting. Ouch. I was going home. They were out. Jesus wasn't with them. They don't believe He's the Son of God. Jesus is not with them. No. Jesus is with me and Jesus is with you. And if our cities need anything, they need you and me taking Jesus out there again. Taking Jesus to the streets, to the lanes, to the highways, the hedges, the neighborhoods, the alleys, the doors. We need to. It's not what our city needs. Our city doesn't need more politicians. Our city doesn't need more stimulus money. Our city needs Jesus Christ. His city needs Jesus Christ. The cities in this state need Jesus Christ. And how is Jesus going to get to those cities if you and I don't? Because when we go, He goes with us. He goes with us. All you bus captains and others that went out visiting yesterday in that heat, and you knock on those doors, and some of those places don't have air conditioning, and you kick the beer bottle or you kick the old crumpled up beer can away from the front porch to get to the door, and you think, "What am I doing out here?" I'll tell you what you're doing. You're taking Jesus to that door. You're taking Jesus to that door. What are you doing on Tuesday morning? I go, "Pastor, I'll hit 10 doors and I'll get 3 people home." You took Jesus to those 3 people. That's what it is. He said, "I'll go with you. You go and I'll go with you." So you see Paul's responsibility in the city, and you see Jesus' presence in this city. And I want you to see, number 3, God's interest in this city. Look at verse number 10. He says, "For I have much people in this city." I like that. You know, we look at cities and what do we see? We see cars and we see malls and we see businesses and factories and stores and roads and houses and clothes and schools and resorts and ball fields and banks and properties and buildings and lakes and sometimes mountains depending on where you live. When God looks at a city, what does He see? You know what? God looks at a city, He doesn't see any of that nonsense. You know what He sees? He sees people. He sees people. And He told the Apostle Paul, He said, Paul, I got people. I have people here. God's interested in the people. God sent Paul to Corinth because God had an interest in the people of Corinth. Now I think about these 19 years. I think about these 19 years. I think about these 40 years of ministry of Faith Baptist Church in this area. Jay Johnson, God had an interest in you, brother. Before you were saved, living down there in St. Anne, when Mom was still alive, God had an interest in you. Yeah, He did. God had an interest in you, Brother Rex. God had an interest in you before you were saved, brother. Back in those days of trouble and difficulty, God had an interest in you. He wasn't interested in Northfield Mall. He's interested in a young Filipino man living over here in Birch's Trailer Court. I could go around and around and around the room tonight. Brother Bibbs, I don't know if God had an interest in you or not, but anyway, you fell in, amen, so. What's that? Sometimes you wonder, that's right. No. Brother Bibbs, God had an interest in you in moments. Living in that apartment building over there. Before you came to know Christ, old gangbanger, moved out of the city of Chicago to Moments. God brought him down here because God had an interest in you, brother. That's what God's interested in. God had an interest in you, brother Wayne, and an interest in you. Through some of the struggles, the difficulties, the toils, God had an interest in you. The day came you got saved. Brother Rayburn, I think about Brother Wayne Rayburn, God had an interest in you, brother. 68 years of age. When I met you, 68 years of age? 68 years of age. I think that man told me he missed 5 days of work, or less than 5 days of work, and I don't know how many years. But he never had put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God had an interest in that man back there, precious brother. I keep going around the room. Kevin, God had an interest in you. Had an interest in you, my friend. Why He gave this church the message, go. Go. Go, I'll go with you. Go. I got people out here. Frank and Jesse, God had an interest in you. Years ago. Before you ever got saved. Steve, God had an interest in you. Your wife. Just talking about people today. God had an interest in you, huh? Amen. Aren't you glad He did? Yeah, absolutely. Roxanne Maiden, God had an interest in you. You folks belong to God. You're His people. You weren't. You are now. Brother Larry back there, Brother Larry Cugella, who sees you, God had an interest in him. Huh? Around and around we could go, folks. I'm not talking about people who moved to the church, saved and joined from other places. I'm talking about people who lived here, were lost and dying and on their way to hell, and God had an interest in their being born again into His family. Huh? That's what God... He said, well, the growth rate of Bourbon A and Kankakee and the industry and the arts, and we have this, and we have buses, and God says, oh, but when you start talking about the people to God, that's when His ears perk up. Because that's who He's interested in. God told Paul, I got much, much people in this city. And Brother Jeremy, I have to believe with all my heart. 42 and 28, that's 70,000, isn't it? have to believe with all my heart that in an area with 70,000 people, God has an interest in the people of that area. I have to believe that God has people in that city. God has people there. He had people in DeKalb. He had people that got saved, came to church because a teenager from this church left a flyer on the door. God has an interest in people. God has people in this city, and God has people in your city, Brother Houston, and God has people in city. He has people in cities all over this state of Illinois. We just have got to get there with the message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the news to every, I forget the words, every land. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. This city. Paul had a responsibility in the city to speak and keep on speaking. Jesus had a presence in the city because everywhere Paul went, when he went to witness, Jesus went with him. And God had an interest in the city, and his interest is in people. I'm so excited about the doors opening to Foundation Baptist Church in about 6 weeks, 7 weeks. So excited about it, folks. We need to stay excited about what God's excited about, interested in what He's interested in. Get behind it physically if you can. If you can't get behind it physically, get behind it with your prayers. Seek God's blessing. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. And Brother Caleb, I want you to go take about 2 or 3 men and get those things tonight. Dear Father, I pray that You'll please bless us. This wasn't as much of a sermon tonight as it was just sharing a vision, a burden. God, how we'd love to see You in the years to come. Help us, oh God, please. Help us. Lord, this is not so we can stand up somewhere and say, we've started. No, it's not. God, it's not for that purpose. If it's for our glory, shut it down. God, it's not for our glory. You know that. It was birthed in our hearts because of the need in this state. Oh, how our state needs Christ. God, how You're interested in people. In people. And I thank You, God, for the people You're interested in this city and the ones You're still interested in. You have much people here. I thank You for the people You have in Crystal Lake and McHenry, and pray that You'll bless this effort in a very special way. Please do it. Thank You for loving us. Give us a heart for souls, I pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me encourage you, friend, you may not go to McHenry or Crystal Lake, but you can be faithful here where you live in your area to serve God, to get the message of Christ out. Some folks have fallen out during the summertime. We get out of our routine and our schedule. And I hope that you'll look at the opportunities of Tuesday and decide to jump back in. And not take a program to get you involved, some kind of silly prize, but just get the heartbeat of God. Have much people in this city. Ask God to fill you with His power and use us in this area of witnessing, getting the message of Christ out. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. You come tonight if you need to. If you need to be saved or join the church, while we wait here, you come. Maybe the Lord God spoke to your heart about that part about the Holy Spirit being filled with the Holy Ghost. To not be fearful in this area, but we'll see.